When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Charlie Walters, the big shooter. I got one thing to say to the crew of the Ride with Reiki. Let's kick the ass.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead. Keith Smart with 17 points in the second half has moved the Hoosiers to within 1 second of a national championship. Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
Ladies and gentlemen, the start of the Final Four week here on the Ride with Ricey, and we're always looking for unique ways to tie things in, right?
Yes.
So we're going with my four favorite Final Fours that I covered, and number one on the Final Four, not necessarily number one in order of my favorites, was Keith Smart hitting the shot to beat Syracuse in 1987, even though I certainly was hoping that Syracuse beat Bobby Knight back then. It was a fantastic game. And you know what made that whole thing so amazing, gentlemen?
What's that?
Hoosiers opened in November of 1986.
Wow.
So
sure.
It was the winter when Hoosiers had caused this phenomenon, right? I mean, it was the most romantic movie ever made about basketball, would we not
for
all
sure,
agree?
For sure, 100%.
I mean, yep. Small town Indiana. And then, you know, Jimmy Chitwood hits the winner for Indiana, for the Hickory Hoosiers.
Hickory, yep.
And then same situation months later. The Indiana Hoosiers win on not one of his great teams either. That was a good team, not one of his great teams. Keith Smart hits a shot to beat Syracuse. Same thing.
And they had Steve Alford on the team.
Oh,
it was a senior year with the Hoosiers and everything.
Yeah, the only thing that would have been more real, more tied in,
if Alford had hit the shot.
If the white kid from Indiana had hit the shot. But I remember writing that on deadline that night. Where were we? I can't even remember. Where the hell were we? New Orleans, Superdome.
Okay.
And I was writing away, and I couldn't remember the guy. And this was not internet days, you know. I couldn't remember the guy who hit the shot for the Hickory Hoosiers. I couldn't remember his name.
Oh, how could you forget Jimmy Chitwood?
I called Such's house and said, hey, ask Andy what the name of that kid
was. Sure, because he'd know.
And he said, Jimmy Chitwood. And I said, okay. So then I hacked it away. But that was a great Final Four. And
help me here, Patrick, really quick.
73-72, 74 seconds to go. Keith Smart hit the shot.
Now, you said that was at the Superdome. Was that the first one, Final Four, to be played at a big?
No. North Carolina and
that was at the Kingdome, wasn't it?
The next year, but when Freddie Brown, when Dean Smith won his first national championship, that was in the Superdome.
Oh, it was.
When the Georgetown kid, Freddie Brown, threw it to Jordan, right? Or James Worthy.
But Michael had hit the shot.
That was 82.
To put him ahead.
But Georgetown had the last possession to pull off a Keith Smart, and they threw it to, that was in New Orleans. That was the first one. And then the Kingdome was right after that. That's when Georgetown humiliated Kentucky in the first round, right? Or was that in the finals? Georgetown won it the next year, 83, out in Seattle, right?
Okay.
83. Or was 83 Houston?
83 was North Carolina State, wasn't
North
it?
North Carolina State.
Oh, yeah,
84,
Jimmy V.
2 years later, 84, in Seattle, was played in the big place. Yeah, so 83 was still in the pit in Albuquerque.
That's right.
It was still in a basketball arena. They were still trying to decide whether they liked these domes or not, but after they drew 60,000, they thought
the NCAA liked thought, maybe we should take this to them.
I remember being there in 82 going up to the upper deck just to look at it. because it was the phenomenal idea of a basketball, of people buying tickets to sit up there to watch a basketball game was preposterous back then. But, yeah, 1987, Key Smart hits a shot. That's also where I changed my opinion on Boeheim completely that year, because Boeheim had this reputation as this surly SOB, you know, the Syracuse guy. And on the Sunday, you play the, you know, the semifinals, and then on Sunday you get access to the two final teams if you're a media guy. And you get 45 minutes with a podium full of players and a coach, and then they do a break-off. So you get an hour and a half of access with each team. And after they broke off into smaller groups, Boeheim stayed up there and told us golf stories and great yarns about old coaches and being the golf coach at Syracuse and stuff like that. And I decided, I like this guy. He's a storyteller. And he's still going. 1987. Yeah. He wasn't that young then. What is he? He got to be 75, doesn't he?
Oh, God, he's at
probably
least,
something
right?
like that, yeah. I think at least early 70s.
That was a hell of a basketball game, though. Wow. Well, Smart made a great play. Somebody had to make a play at the end, and Indiana made a great play, and that's why they won the game. Jim Boeheim.
Jim Boeheim is 73 years old.
Really?
So what was interesting, too, about Keith Smart's shot is, because we know Boeheim forever at Syracuse has always played that zone, that 2-3 zone. But in that particular play, Syracuse was in man-to-man.
Yeah, beat him down the field, the court too, right?
Yeah.
Smart scored 10 of Indiana's last 13 points and tied the game at 63, 68, and 70 each time Syracuse had taken a lead. So anyway, this is the final four of the Ride with Ricey, and by golly, we're going to celebrate the Final Four. Why not?
What? You know what? We don't have any rules this week.
We don't have any rules this week. By the way, I do have, we're going to have Manny Hill's Four Deep Thoughts coming up momentarily. I know you were going to miss those because you haven't had enough of Manny on the radio lately. You only had, how many hours last week, sir? You had the four on Wednesday.
I did two on Tuesday, four with Judd on Wednesday, and then two on Thursday and Friday.
And then two today.
And then two today, yeah. So, and then four tomorrow.
So Manny's Four Deep Thoughts, or he's got to save a few Four Deep Thoughts for tomorrow.
And here's can't my be wasting deep, all those on Judd.
Here's my deep thought. After you think we had some wasted angst on the Vikings roster cuts? I mean, oh, man, how are they going to keep everybody? Well, they convinced Terrence Newman to become a coach, and they cut Brian Robinson, and basically, they didn't lose anybody, right?
No, well,
they didn't lose anybody unless you want to get upset about Conrad Beebe, who's on the practice squad.
But there was some angst when they cut loose the punter, Quigley, on Twitter, I noticed. Because when they claimed the kid from Pittsburgh, well, he was so phenomenal last year that there was a lot of people that were very upset about that. He's a punter,
listen,
ladies and gentlemen.
Do you really think this team, the way they're currently constructed, is going to have to punt?
No.
I don't.
No. I'm surprised they even kept one.
Because those three a month.
Because the thing of it is, all those people that are mad about Quigley being cut, they're the same people that think Kirk Cousins is going to throw 65 touchdown passes this year and throw for 7,000 yards.
I think they're
not going to need to punt.
I think, we got to be weak someplace, don't we? The special teams, I didn't realize this. According to Pro Football Focus, they were number one last year.
Well, what aren't we number one in pass? Come on, let's go.
Well, this team is absolutely loaded. If they're 3-5 in midseason, Zim, see ya.
Yep, you're out.
You're out, Zim. You're gone. I'm gonna have full time newspaper now. I can start beating on him if they lose a couple early. Right?
I'm showing up every day.
That's right. Well, I wouldn't go that far. All right, we'll be back.
We now present Manny Hill's Four Deep Thoughts on the Ride with Royce.
Now, you were on for 2 hours today, but these are completely unique thoughts, ones that weren't expressed today with Judd, right, sir?
There's a few collaborative,
go with it, okay?
You're supposed to lie, Manny. Come on.
That's right. You know, we're nobody here on the Ride with Royce.
Very unique thoughts.
Truth. Yes, okay. Here we go, number one.
Second down and four. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick. What a game. Touchdown.
The reason why I love this so much is because this is so Nike, they make the NFL's jerseys. They're like their official
multi-billion dollar deal. Yes.
What I love about this is Nike's way of looking at the NFL and saying, we don't need you.
Yeah. Or yes, and don't make a big issue out of, you know, don't fall for the Jerry Jones lingo on this thing. Right.
Yeah. And I have long said for the last couple of years now, since this whole thing started, that Colin Kaepernick, clearly from what we've learned now, with that he has been on Nike's payroll for however long.
Right.
He doesn't need football. And I've said this for like a year and a half. He doesn't need football. Why should he, and should he be on a roster? Yes. He's talented enough to be on an NFL roster. But if I'm him, why do I want to be on an NFL roster right now and getting my brains beat in for a billionaire owner that, why should he be on a roster letting his body get beat up, you know, every season when he could be doing so much more for society without having to get his body beat up playing football?
Well, I think he'll probably, because he loves to play football,
sure.
And, you know, I think if he got a chance to go somewhere and actually get to play, he'd probably be doing it.
I'm sure he would.
The best tweet I saw about this entire, obviously controversial issue over the weekend was someone retweeting the Buffalo Bills announcing Nathan Peterman is starting at quarterback in week one. Enough said.
I saw that one. This guy said, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but why wouldn't you just take this? Take this tweet to the Nathan Peterman starting to the as your evidence?
Right. The guy who threw five interceptions in a half.
In a half. Nike stock was down 3% today. It actually it rallied a little. It ended up down 2.7. This is Nike's 30th anniversary season. He's not standing alone as the face of Nike. Serena's got a new contract with him and a bunch of other people, too. But, of course, this is their way of somebody pointed out Nike's not trying to sell sneakers to people of the last 30 years. They're trying to sell them for people of the next 30 years.
The next 30 years.
And that's so it's, you know, the immediate fall might be. There might be a little hit they take right now, and Trump will. The best thing that they could happen to them is if Trump comes out and rips the hell out of them.
Somebody that said,
which he will, right?
Well, somebody had said he hasn't tweeted about it yet because he doesn't know how to spell Kaepernick.
by the way, somebody said the last 24 hours, 2.7 million social media mentions for Nike, too, on this thing. So
there are no dummies at Nike.
There's some smart people over there. All right,
go get them. Oh, by the way, somebody texted me to one of my responses when I said, you know, they should change the swoosh to a pair of cojones, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, this is against everything your Marine son stands for. This guy doesn't know my Marine son. He doesn't know me.
Right.
He doesn't have any idea how my kid feels about this. He doesn't have any idea about my relationship with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but.
That's, but he's an expert on what?
He's an expert on this.
Unbelievable. All right, number two.
Uh-oh. Buxton swings and drives one to left field. That is going to be gone. It sneaks over the wall into the second row of bleachers. Three-run home run for Buxton. And just like that, it goes from 1-0 to 4-0.
So Byron Buxton, as we all know, is not being called up for the month of September. And me and Judd talked about this morning, and I don't understand it. And I know that they've spoken publicly about it, and they've talked about how this could change the relationship with him and the organization and all of that.
Yeah, they admitted it.
But what are you, outside of getting an extra year to hold off free agency, what are you gaining here? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I told this to Judd this morning. Forget about service time for right now. You need to fix this kid.
Yeah, you got to find out.
You got to find out if he's going to be a part.
You got to find out if he got fixed a little the last couple of weeks when he hit 350 in Rochester. Maybe it's the same old, same old.
Yeah, but you got to find out. And I don't, I don't understand this at
one,
all.
Let me say this. The one comparison people have been making is Dozier. Dozier had played basically 3.5 months, right, at shortstop, mm-hmm. and had played poorly. And then when he went down to Rochester, he supposedly pouted, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't call him up. These two situations are not anywhere near each other.
Not even
Dozier
close.
Was still a suspect. Buxton was the American League's basically defensive player of the year last year, the platinum gold, mm-hmm. the platinum glove winner.
And by the way, not just in the American League, that's for MLB, yeah. is it not?
I'm not sure if it was okay. the league or the, what, whatever it was.
And Buxton was also a high draft choice.
Yeah, and I talked to, we're going to talk to manager Kelly today, but Kelly last night, he said, and he'll say it today, that, you know, if Sano and Buxton can't do it, this is a setback of monumental proportions.
You're looking at 2021, yeah. 2022 you before think, you even see your future.
And do you think that that's why they made the series of moves that they did to just in case? In other words, is that why they sold off as much as they did before the deadline? Because they're fearful that these two guys can't play?
I'm not sure what their logic was. I think they're geniuses.
Okay.
You know, we'll see.
But Judd made a great point this morning. He was, because he
rare.
Talked about
wait a minute now.
hold sure? on. Let's, hold
come
on.
You can't be laying that on us.
Oh, that's a piping hot sports take.
Well, but he just said, because they said, well, you know, we have an issue with playing time, too. Is how
yeah,
we going to.
Right.
You got that's, Robbie Grossman, right. and I mean, come on. And Jake Cave and
yeah, well,
what's Josh Field or whatever
yeah,
the hell
that was Johnny Field.
Johnny Field, like
that was the move they made yesterday. But just say instead of having Levine go out there and just babble nonsense, Eastern liberal college nonsense, just say we've made this decision and there's really not much to expand on. We just want him to go home and. Work on his strength this winter or something. But don't give us the BS about playing time and stuff like
that. And my question for them would be, okay, you did this. Now do you have a plan? What are you going to do?
Well,
from here
one
on
thing
up?
They got to do is get him on the phone because he has not returned any of their pleading messages to talk to him as of yet. Maybe today, but not before today. I was told that he's coming back to pick up some stuff here. He's got, like, in the apartment and stuff. No plans to visit the yard. So,
that's
anyway, we'll see.
All right, number three.
It's an exciting time to be a Chicago Bear. You got a young talent. And on the defensive side of the ball, you definitely have some dogs. And I'm looking forward to getting out there with them dogs.
All right.
Khalil Matt. In his introductory press conference with the Chicago Bears, and don't look now, boys.
That
the Bears,
defense, yep.
The Bears
yep.
are going to be. I think they're going to be pretty good. I don't think they're going to win the division, but they're going to be. They're going to cause some fits for the two teams at the top. I think.
So you like the trade for them, huh?
I like the trade for them. I think they gave up a little bit. They gave up quite a bit with the two
well,
first round
Jared
picks.
Well, it's the Jared Allen trade,
yeah,
basically.
And they're getting a second round yeah. pick. Back
to
along
take
with
Khalil long
Matt,
to have but, everybody in that locker room oh. hate him though, huh? That didn't take long.
No,
you know yeah. when you've been away a long time, you come rolling back in. How often has that worked? Not Joe Gibbs. Didn't work for Joe Gibbs.
No, it
and
didn't.
That guy
You're
was
right.
a better coach than John Gruden ever thought of being.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, but I think the Bears are going to be pesky and they're going to give people some fits, and that defense is going to be pretty good.
All righty. Well, that's because they're still going to stink though, and offensively, so that's good. Yeah.
Number four.
Well, I still like both guys. I think both guys are good players. I think both guys can help our team. All right, so why do you continually try to get me to say something that doesn't respect one of them? I'm not going to. So quit asking.
This guy
God,
is
hateable.
I know. And of course, you know, he apparently called Maria Taylor and apologized to her and all that stuff. But this, you know... And we know why he's like this because yeah. he's got you know, I've won all these championships and I can talk yeah. to people however the hell I want, but
he wanted Hurt to stick around so he could have a backup quarterback, so he made it sound like competition, but the other kid's his quarterback.
Right. Tua is the guy. Yeah. And that's I mean, what he created this.
Yeah,
by coming out and saying, well, I like both guys, and stop trying to make it sound like I don't like both guys.
But what question did he want her to ask?
Right.
You're the number one team in the country.
And the only story surrounding you is who's going to play quarterback.
And you know what? All he had to do was come out right away and say,
damn, they look good.
Either that or just come out and say, Tua's the guy.
Well, those
he's
going to
start, and Jalen's going to be the backup, and that's that.
Those interviews are limited, I believe, to two or three questions, depending upon the situation of the game.
You got to get to it.
And all he needs to do is just give a short, curt answer, and it's over with.
And
it's
just say, like Tua played well, and that's all there is to it.
I'd like to be getting the communications that this poor woman is getting from Alabama now to the sideline reporter. I bet she's being called Taylor. Every filthy name.
Who's
in the book,
very right? good at what she does, yes. by the way. She's very good.
Well, I'm sure the jackass. Who do you think the jackasses from Alabama are supporting on this? You think they turn it on Nick or her?
Right.
And she didn't do anything. All right, Manny Hills, four deep thoughts, and he'll have 4 hours of deep thoughts tomorrow.
Yes, I will.
4 hours of deep thoughts. All unique.
Manny Hill's still on the air.
Here is Johnny Height with a sports update.
Thank you, Patrick. Twins in Houston again tonight to play the Astros. Twins,
all right. I'm ready for this lineup that doesn't have room for Byron Buxton in it. Let's go.
Wait till you see the meat of this lineup. Okay. The Twins will start Trevor May tonight, one of the, where you start the reliever deals and he pitches an inning.
The opener.
Or two.
Okay.
The opener.
Although he could go 2-3 innings because he's a strong dude.
Justin Verlander will start for the Astros.
Go get him, boys.
To face Justin Verlander, we have. Leading off, Joe Mauer at first base, Logan Forsythe at second, hitting second, Jorge Polanco at short, hitting third.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Robbie Grossman hits cleanup in left field. Jake Cave hits fifth and center field.
Fifth. Way to go, Jake.
Miguel Sano hits sixth. He's DHing this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Max Kepler hits seventh in right field. Ara Adrianza, third base, hits eighth, and Chris Jimenez catches and hits ninth.
That's another thing they're doing. Why not catch Garber every day?
I don't know.
We'll find out if he can catch him. God almighty.
Former Twins news. He's been in former Twins news several times this year. The Pirates made some call-ups today, and to make room, they designated Buddy Beauchers for silence.
Oh, Buddy, hey.
Wait, now we can get him. Let's go.
Don't bet against it. I can see him as an opener.
Come on, we need another arm.
I can see him opening up.
Meanwhile, the Nationals announced they outrighted Tommy Malone.
Oh.
So, there's another one for you.
There you go. Two lefties.
We got a tall Tommy Malone now, so it's that's fine. We got a taller one. Gonsalves, same stuff. Same stuff. Change up and 3-2 counts, baby.
Should Gonsalves be considered an opener since he only goes about three innings anyway?
It's a tough one. That's a tough decision to make.
You know?
Yeah. And that's where the guy can... Now he can say, he pitches two and a third, and he's saying, oh, well, you were rotten. He said, no, I was the opener.
Right.
You know what is going to happen, too? This is what the majority of the postseason is going to become, don't you think, this year?
What?
In MLB? It's going to be, we're going to make a pitching change
the
in three innings.
Good starters won't do it, but yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to do it like madmen.
Antoine Winfield named Big Ten co-special teams player of the week. He returned to punt 76 yards for TD.
I would think that the coaches for the losing team were not very happy with the tackling on that punt return. What did he break? About seven tackles.
Yeah, they list five on this one. They say five tackles he broke.
Yeah, but one of them was three guys at the same time.
He also made five tackles on defense. Remember, he missed the last eight games of the season last year because of a hamstring injury.
He's good.
Vegas Golden Knights defenseman and former Gopher Nate Schmidt will miss the first 20 games of the NHL season. He's been suspended without pay for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. He can participate in training camp but cannot dress or play in preseason games. Both the Golden Knights and Schmidt issued statements objecting to the NHL's ruling on the matter. For the third year in a row, the Gophers volleyball team is up to number one. The Gophers took over the top spot in the American Volleyball Coaches Association poll released this morning. They got 35 first-place votes. The Gophers won the Diet Coke Classic at home over the weekend, sweeping North Dakota State, Georgia Southern,
She gets Arkansas. Tough now, though. They're going to California, and they have to play at mighty Stanford. So that'll be tough.
We're always a power.
All right, Johnny, that's all we need out of you.
Okie doke.
Thanks. Kevin Seifert from ESPN. How are you doing, sir?
Very good. How are you, Patrick?
I am good. Kevin, I would have liked to have been in the commissioner's office when they found out that when Nike informed them that Kaepernick was going to be one of the faces of their 30th anniversary ad campaign.
Yes, I think that if the NFL or the NFL owners thought that they would be able to negotiate or find a way to get to move beyond Colin Kaepernick's career in relation to the NFL, they realized yesterday that that is not going to happen.
No, it's an interesting situation. And I think they're probably, Nike's inviting the President of the United States to comment on this. I saw that they, several hours ago, they'd had $2.7 million, million hits on various social media outlets since they did this.
Yeah, and I believe I saw that he did comment on it, that he said he noted that Nike is a tenant at Trump Tower, which I think they're moving or have moved, but at one point we're a tenant there, and that he thought it was not a good idea for Nike to sign Colin Kaepernick, so I guess no surprise in either event. But
he didn't go nuts about it yet, then, apparently.
Not yet, but it doesn't look like he seems like he's had a busy day of things to go through today.
Yeah, he's had a few things. It is, and, you know, this is obviously them reading the room, right, and saying that, you know, the young people who are buying shoes probably approve of this guy.
Yes, there are, I mean, it's obviously been very polarizing, but for something to be polarizing, that means there has to be some staunch supporters on both sides, detractors and supporters. And so as much as we've heard from people who think that kneeling during the anthem is wrong, there are just as many, if not more, people who feel that feel emboldened and excited that attention has been brought to some issues that had not previously, at least not to this level. And if you can say nothing else about these the protests that have occurred in the NFL, it has brought, even though it's been warped a little bit, it's still brought more attention to the core issues that the players wanted to bring than otherwise would have.
And the NFL can't say a whole lot since they're getting hundreds of millions of dollars from Nike, right?
Right, and you know, and they're also, the NFL is also in this spot where, don't forget, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid have accused them of collusion, and they're going through a formal arbitration process, and there's been a lot of discovery, and the NFL tried to get the arbitrator to drop the case, and he did not, which meant that there's at least enough evidence to keep the process going, and so proving collusion is very difficult according to the NFL CBA, but they've gotten this far, and certainly, the discovery process alone has made a lot of people uncomfortable, and so that is all playing into this news.
Kevin, in your years covering the Vikings, I'm sure that you spent several weeks in Mankato and other places having Viking people tell you, how in the name of George Halas are we going to be able to keep all of this talent we have because we're going to lose somebody on waivers, and then nobody was lost on waivers, and that pretty much happened again here for the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't know if it's if they have some secret strategy they figured out to hide people in the preseason so that they know the other teams can't see their true talents or what. but that certainly was notable. You know, I think they have, you know, in all seriousness, they have one of the more talented rosters in the NFL, and I don't think too many people would disagree with that. But in terms of the talent of the undrafted free agents and those type of people that they brought in and then largely released the other day, I guess that's for everybody. But everybody thinks that their players are better than, you know, the guys that they signed and researched and that they wanted are better than the others. So you see, especially this time of year, you see so many teams just keep the players that they drafted or they signed, and they try to keep them in the practice squad and justify those draft picks and those signing bonuses as much as they can. I think Gil Brandt put out a tweet today that the top 100 picks in the draft all made the team. Not a single guy got cut. And there was the percentages of people below that were also higher than normal. So clearly this year, even more than most, teams wanted to keep a hold of their guys and at least give them longer period of time to figure out if they're going to be able to help at some point.
Robeson, you know, that you're keeping young linemen, and Terrence Newman was convinced that it was over and he might as well become a coach. But getting rid of two veterans, what is amazing is a raft of defensive backs they kept. I mean, they're with Mike Zimmer running the thing, you aren't going to lose any defensive backs who might have a chance to play.
Yeah. No, he values them as, I mean, obviously pass rush is usually considered more important than DBs, but in Mike Zimmer's defense, he values them almost right up there with pass rush. And so you see, that's why you've seen the draft picks that they've made and the free agent signings that they've made and the roster decisions they've made. The other thing that's kind of, and I don't know how much exactly it related to with the Vikings, but the other thing to keep in mind is that when the kickoff rule changed and they yes. said that you couldn't do wedge blocks anymore, it basically meant that there's no reason to have offensive linemen or defensive linemen on the field during the kickoff. So that meant more linebackers and more DBs. And so whether that whether that translated into roster decisions or not, you'd have to ask each individual coach, and they may or may not tell you. But the expectation was that it was going to make it at least more difficult when you thought about how you were going to who you were going to put out in those 11 guys on the kickoff return team and the kickoff coverage team, and how you were going to replace the fact that you normally use some of your backup offensive linemen and defensive linemen to do that.
By the way, Cordarrelle Patterson, New England has dumped a bunch of wide receivers one after another here, and Cordarrelle is apparently going to get on the field.
Yeah, and you just think, I mean, doesn't fit the type of receiver that the Patriots have normally gone after and turned into something much better than what they had been. You know, they're usually these smaller slot receivers, the Wes Welkers and the Danny Amendolas and the Julian Edelmans, but he just has the kind of unique skill set that given the track record, you have to wonder if they don't have a pretty good plan for how they would like to use him. And not use him. You know, they wouldn't necessarily be asking him to run every route in their system, but that they have something in place that they think might work, maybe against only certain opponents, maybe only in certain situations. But it just feels like one of those situations where, you know, and I think sometimes the Patriots get too much credit for being, you know, Midas, and that everything that they touch, every player they bring in, they have some plan that no one else ever thought of, and that they can get more out of every guy and blah, blah, and all that. And sometimes that happens, and sometimes that's an exaggeration. But you just wonder if they don't see what a lot of other teams or what the Vikings saw and what the Raiders saw last year. It was that this guy has some unique talents. There's some things that you would hope a receiver could do that he can't. But there's enough unique talents there that if you came up with the right ideas, maybe he could help you in a you know, certain situations.
The John Gruden back to Oakland honeymoon didn't last long. He's getting killed out there. Wow, they're mad. The players are mad. The fans are mad.
Yes, the players. Yeah, I mean, but he's basically. It was not. It's not a surprise that he went in there and shook things up. You know, and as he even noted, they've had one winning season in the past 14. It's not as if he took over the Patriots and is just trying to keep them going. I mean, they. But the way that he has gone about it and the results of what he has done makes you wonder if the plan that he's installed is any better than any other plan. They've basically become the oldest team in football. He's signed a bunch of older guys to one-year deals. He decided he didn't need or couldn't allocate the salary cap space for maybe the best defensive player in the NFL, if not certainly one of the top three. And didn't necessarily seem to understand the subtleties of the salary cap and how it has evolved over time in explaining why they couldn't keep Khalil Mack, that defensive player. And so a lot of fair criticism being thrown his way, and ultimately he can answer it by winning games, but the everything that has has happened so far has suggested that he's gone into it with a preconceived notion that might be a little bit behind the way the NFL is operating right now.
And did he give up a third rounder for the Bryant guy that he just cut? Was that a third rounder for an end that he had for a receiver that he cut? Oof.
Yeah, who had a lot of issues and has had some off the field things that resulted in suspensions and was maybe, you know, reportedly that was going to happen again. And it was in the last year of his contract anyway, so even if things had gone great, they would have given up a third-round pick for a guy who might have walked the year after. And then kind of justified it by saying, well, a lot of picks haven't worked out around here, so what, you know, which is exactly like, basically explaining it with a negative. So a lot of answers that wouldn't necessarily calm down anybody who was already getting concerned about where they were going.
And one last thing, the great Freddie Zamberletti has passed from this vale of tears, and you enjoyed him as much as the rest of us.
Yes, I did. He was, I started covering the team after his sort of prime as the team's top athletic trainer, but he was sort of the team historian and maitre d' when I was there, and just had a way of, he's one of those people that when you talk to him, he always made you feel like the only thing he'd rather be doing in the entire world is standing there talking to you right then about that particular thing. And it was not just a one-way down memory lane from him. He wanted to know what you thought and what you saw, and was just a very in my experience a very good ambassador for the team and certainly a font of history as well.
Yeah, he was something, and was always when the best thing about going to a trip to Mankato was when old Freddie ambled over and giving you a hard time. So
yeah,
all right, hey Kevin, thank you.
But thank you, Patrick. And while I have you, real quick, I know given how sappy your personality is, I'll just say it has been an honor, sir.
Thank you. Same to you.
Goodbye. All right,
we'll be back. I call Kevin Sievert. What do I call him? Best beat guy I've ever worked with. Right?
Please, we'll be on the air.
And now, this day in history. Patrick.
Still holding them off. He's got about a half a meter lead. And down on the near side, it's Murphy. But Spitz is going to go in. Spitz wins the gold medal in second place.
I'm just glad that the race ended exactly, boom, right there. You know, not one half a stroke left. I had zero gas left in my tank. That was it. That last stroke was It was 100% right up into that last stroke. I could hardly get out of the water.
Spitz not only won gold, he took a second off Wendon's 1968 world record. The following day, Spitz completed his haul of 7 gold medals. He broke world records in every single one.
On this day in history, September 4th, 1972, Mark Spitz became the first Olympian to win 7 gold medals in Olympics. The great U.S. swimmer he swam the fly leg of the 400-meter relay, and the team set a world record of 3 minutes and 48.16 seconds. It was a fantastic celebration, and then, of course, the next day, the terrorists showed up and ruined the entire Munich Olympics in 1972. Years later, 20 years later, I was going to Barcelona to cover the Olympics, and I was out in L.A. doing some pre-Olympic stuff. I spent 3 days with Oscar De La Hoya and his family, and then I got a chance to call Mark Spitz. And he met me for, I bought him a Diet Coke out at some little hotel out in Westwood and spent a couple hours.
Really?
Spent a couple hours with him and had a long talk with him about that. And a really nice guy, hell of a guy.
The basis of the conversation outside of the Olympic stuff? I mean,
it was basically, okay. I was doing a 20 years later.
Gotcha.
Spitz and, but he was the kind of guy that BS with you and talk about it. He was 18 when he first came to the Summer Olympics in 68, 22, and that was pretty much the end of it for a swimmer back in those days. Now these big lugs swim till they're 40 because they're making so damn much money. But, I got a hunch what our sports day in history is going to be tomorrow, and it won't be as much fun.
At the Home Depot, we have the tools for you to give the gift of a smarter home with savings on top brands like the Google Hub, a command center for your smart devices that raises the IQ of your entire home. or the Nest Learning Thermostat that helps you conserve energy and save on your bill. And if you don't know what to get, gift cards are a smart gift no matter what they get. So this year, gift smarter with savings on tools to make your holiday magic. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.